But just because you can beat him up doesn't give you the right to. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the movie calendar. My name is Lee.
And I'm Terrence.
And we have full disclosure at the beginning of this episode. We have something that we have to announce. Are you ready?
Yes. No idea. Yes.
There is a dog in the room. So if you hear anything happening, any scratches, any lapping, it is just the dog. It is not Terrence or I. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app of choice and hear any weird sounds, promise you it's the dog.
My hands will always be visible.
above the desk.
Except for when they're below the desk.
Yes, of course. But no, we are here this week to talk about Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
I was about to start humming the theme song. I'm like, you can't hum it without saying the words.
No.
But that would have given it up. It's the first word in the song. Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
I wonder what it could be. Yeah. But no, episode 30. We are very excited to jump into this one. We wanted something a little bit lighter to begin the first episode of the new year. Landed on this one. We've got a couple of really good films coming up as well, like Blues Brothers, The Big Lebowski, as well as so many others. So make sure that you've subscribed to get all of those incredible episodes.
Yes.
If you want to contribute, we have an email, we have a Twitter, we have an Instagram. We are at The Movie Cal everywhere. They're down in the description below, as well as the time codes if you want to jump around to your favorite bits.
And we have a website, themoviecalendar.com. And we've already done an episode in the new year, haven't we?
Well, it was supposed to be part of Director December, so I wouldn't think so.
But we did say Happy New Year, didn't it?
Yeah, but you say that leading into the new year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you say it right before midnight, which is about when the episode dropped. It was very close to the end of December.
A week after the new year. I think we're further than a week into the new year now. But
Very much so.
Like a couple of days ago, I saw someone that I hadn't seen for months. And we Happy New Year to each other.
There you go. So you can say it at any time.
Yeah, Happy New Year to everyone.
Everyone. Even if you're watching this in... who knows when? June, July, doesn't matter. Happy New Year. Welcome. There is a little bit of a set change this week if you are watching on YouTube. We have changed out the books. Don't worry, Terrence didn't touch it.
I did touch it, just like lightly with my fingertip on it.
But the Moonlight book that is normally down underneath the Parasite book has been shifted. I thought putting a Marvel one here for Spider-Man would be a good idea. It'll change back for the rest of the episodes, but yeah. Mm-hmm. For the Marvel films, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. I've not actually seen the cover of the Moonlight book, to be honest.
The set was here before you came over for the first time.
It was all set up and the Parasite book was on top and I'd never seen the artwork of it. I love it. It took me right back to the film itself. Really cool. See the art. Beautiful. Nice shot. I love the darkness.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous film. It's a beautiful book. It's an excellent read.
And it's a great episode that we have done on Moonlight. Please go back and watch it.
Episode 14. What a good time.
It's a really cool film. I love talking about that one.
But no, we are very excited to talk about Sam Raimi's 2002 classic, question mark?
I guess so. It's 19 years as of today. Yeah. So I think, that classes as classic in the law books.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
So. Yeah, I think if you look it up in film law.
Yeah, let me check.
It'd count as a classic. But no, Spider-Man. Directed by Sam Raimi, written by David Koepp, and starring Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, Willem Dafoe, James Franco, Cliff Robertson, Rosemary Harris, and J.K. Simmons.
And many other cameos.
So many other people.
Yeah.
The way that we're going to break down this episode is we're going to be talking very briefly about Marvel in the 90s and sort of what led up to this film being made. That's going to be really brief because I did go in depth with that in episode 10 for Iron Man. Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn more about where Marvel was during that time, highly recommend checking out that episode. It was really fun to research. And I've got some really good feedback from everyone that they enjoyed hearing about that.
I learned a lot.
And then we're going to talk about the success of this film, which was just monstrous.
Yes.
And then getting into the casting decisions and then jumping into a little bit of the direction before getting to our hashtag what about when's and then adding the film to the movie calendar.
Excellent. There's a bit of contention with the dates of this film, but we've worked it all out. We'll let you know about them when we get to them. This film, I like saying this, I give myself a little bit of street cred when I can say this, but I saw this in the cinema.
Ah, yes.
So I was able to watch this Marvel on the big screen, which these days I haven't had a chance much with the recent films. I did Black Panther
Oh, so good.
I'm very glad that I got to do that there. I think. Holy moly, now I'm second guessing myself. Maybe I didn't. But I have a really cool like movie setup. So it might have been at home. Because it was pretty awesome there.
Memory's great.
But
I
did watch this in the cinema and it was just gobsmacking. Just the for spectacle the time. Of yeah. it, you know. Just the flying through the city scenes, you know, all that. So we'll talk about those as we get through the episode.
Well, watching Tobey Maguire / the CGI Spider-Man flying through the cityscape of New York at the time was just insane. So much so that when they took like the concept footage to the producers of the film when they were looking to get some more money, the producers were like, "Is that Toby?" Like, they couldn't tell. It was just done so well. And like looking at it now, he looks like a rubber man flying through the streets. Yeah.
Is that Toby? Yeah, it's Toby.
Yeah, it's him. Of course it is.
He has a degree in acrobatics.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were able to do that with ropes. It looks like spider web, but it's ropes.
Producers being like, we can't insure him for that.
Is that Toby? Yeah. These are the people funding.
They're
in charge of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to be smart to have money, I guess, is the rule there.
Well, what's more important, it doesn't seem like you have to be smart to throw money at things.
No, and thank goodness, because now we have this movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll jump straight into Marvel in the 90s, if that's okay with
you.
Please, and we'll do a little bit of, like, what the superhero cinema, I guess, in inverted commas, landscape looks like. What's the
cinematic landscape? Yes.
Exactly.
All right.
So, to be really blunt, Marvel was bankrupt. Like, they had no money. Comics weren't selling. They didn't know what to do. They were selling off all of their stuff. And then Sony Pictures, which you'll see the Columbia Pictures logo at the beginning of this film, bought the rights to Spider-Man, which they still own to this day as of this recording. Whether that changes or not, we don't know. Marvel has a lot of money now, so they might buy it back eventually, but it would be a very pricey acquisition, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And so it got shopped around before it went to Sony as well. One person who was looking to buy not just Spider-Man, but the entirety of Marvel was Michael Jackson.
Really?
The musician, the pop star, the king of pop.
Oh, really? Him. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, for those who don't know who Michael Jackson is.
Well, he already owned the Beatles, right?
Did he?
He owned their back catalogue.
No way, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Again, too much money.
Like Paul McCartney went up against him and I think he got some back. I don't know. Comment if you know what's going on. I don't know, but yeah.
But yeah, Michael Jackson wanted to buy Marvel specifically so that he could play Spider-Man in a film that he made.
Oh, man. Thank goodness that didn't happen.
I know. I'm kind of interested to see what might have been. But no, I'm really glad that it didn't happen. It almost got made by James Cameron.
Wow.
Who had massive success with Titanic. And he was going to make it with Leonardo DiCaprio as a older Spider-Man, where he'd already been in the role for a while. Like he'd been kind of 7 to 10 years as Spider-Man. And you got to see all of the, like the opening credits essentially was going to be like a flip book of all of the adventures that he'd been on up until that point. So we've learned that great power comes great responsibility, which we just heard at the beginning of the episode. Such a great quote.
Ding.
If you don't put that in.
It's going in. It's
good. Going in. You have to. What else do you do?
Before I hit play to watch this movie again, which I just recently watched it, I thought, oh, I know the quote. In fact, my wife, she's like, you know what quote you've got to put at the beginning?
Yep. Might not make an appearance in What About When towards the end of the episode.
We'll see. My wife?
No.
She definitely won't. She's not here.
No.
She's behind me.
Surprise, Terrence.
Usually that happens when I'm talking about her.
Come on out.
Everyone looks weird and everyone goes pale in the face. And I'm like, hey, honey.
Completely different person in the room with his wife, I can attest.
How
weird would a Michael Jackson Spider-Man film be? And then he realized how much work it was going to be, and so he didn't end up buying it. It ended up going to Sony. James Cameron didn't do it. They brought on Sam Raimi, who was not their first choice until they found out that he is just a massive comic book nerd.
Wow.
Cool. Like, he owns something to the equivalent of back then he had like 25,000 comic books. Like, he was like a huge nerd for it.
Where do they go?
I don't know.
Where do you put that many things?
Well, he was a pretty successful director.
Oh, so he had this point in time.
So he would have had a good home. A
couple of rooms for it.
Yep. A special farm where he keeps all of his comics.
A big barn.
Yeah.
One of those big old style middle America barns that they have. And he'd creak the doors open and and it would be nighttime when he does it, and as he does it, there are lights on inside for some reason, blasting out, and there's smoke. The props guys put smoke machines everywhere, so you see these beams of light coming out, and he opens it, and then all of a sudden you walk in, there's no smoke, but you see clear comics everywhere. Yeah,
that's I've looked it up. That is exactly what it is. So
I was there. That's how I know.
You knew that. Perfect. Yeah. You were the smoke person.
Yeah. It's a cool machine, that smoke machine. It looks like a big leaf blower.
But it's hard to imagine that at the time that this was released, like, comic book movies weren't a thing. Like, they just weren't successful. There'd been a couple of hits. Like, X-Men was huge. It had come out a couple of years before and was massive.
That was huge.
Right. But it wasn't, like, it didn't kind of lean into the comic bookness of it all. Like, it wasn't very colorful. The characters all wore, like, black leather because The Matrix was such a big hit. Blade had come out a couple of years again before that, I think 98. That was an incredible film.
You know, I never knew that was based on a comic book character.
It's Marvel. It's Marvel Comics.
I had no idea.
It's insane, right? It's so cool. Men in Black. Did you know that Men in Black is a Marvel comic as well?
No.
Yeah. They have so many
things.
How
can I not know this stuff? Sorry, everyone that thinks I'm like some movie reviewer. We've done 30. This is number 30. So we've been doing this for a long time. Yeah, I'm so blind to this world and so naive to it. But it's really cool to learn this stuff. I did not know that Men in Black was a Marvel thing.
Yeah. It might have been a more of an independent comic, but I think Marvel owned it at the time that they made the film.
Cool.
But yeah, like, so before this came out, we had the Batman films by Joel Schumacher, which was Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Forever, I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for. It's just so camp. And I think, like, Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones just going mad on screen. It's just fun to
watch. That's not the Schwarzenegger one, is it?
No, that's Batman and Robin. So that almost...
Was that after?
So that, A, killed Batman as a like film entity for years.
In that line, right?
And just, and comic book films in general were just like, nah, they're just cancer essentially for the industry. So you don't do it. And then Sam Raimi comes in, who knows what he's doing, loves the lore of the comic books, loves the color and the camp of it, but also cares about the characters and understands the fact that Peter Parker is just as important as Spider-Man.
Yeah, there was a lot of heart in this film and a lot of color. You know, it still looked like, at times it still looked like Gotham City. You know, just the architecture, which you see a lot of. I mean, how do you not see architecture of New York City with someone flying around the buildings? But I definitely got a vibe of that. And maybe it was just the sets. You know, they looked a little bit, you know, set-ish.
Yeah.
And you get that vibe. But again, of the age.
I think it all comes into like the world building of it all. Like, because it's not reality as much as it's like, it's set in New York, which is a real city. But the New York in Marvel is very different to the New York of the real world.
Yeah.
Like, it's very heightened. Like, there's, again, it's about a teenage boy played by a near 30-year-old man who gets bitten by a radioactive spider and then can swing around and fights a dude on a glider who dresses in a green motorcycle outfit. Like, it's ridiculous.
And he has a Power Rangers style helmet on.
Yes. Yeah, that I want to talk about, because that was an interesting decision, to say the least.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of where we were with the land of comic book movies. And then, this comes out and just smashes every expectation. Yeah. Like, the hype leading up to this film was insane. People were watching the trailers in, like, the internet wasn't really a thing, like a big thing. Then there was no real social media. So, like, all of the trailers that were being watched were all done in the movie theaters and just blowing people's minds.
Yeah, and you had to really hunt to find a trailer. Like you said, the internet wasn't what the internet is now.
No.
I remember hearing stories of it. And of course, you know, just after 9/11 occurred, there were trailers with the Twin Towers.
Yeah, there was they shot like a trailer, but was essentially like a short film, and it was of these, you know, bank robbers or robbers who were getting away in a helicopter and all you saw was the helicopter get trapped in webs in between the Twin Towers. And it's a great, you can look it up on YouTube, it's a great little trailer. But you can't use it. It was a horrible atrocity that occurred for the United States, and understandably they withdrew it. There's a couple of shots that you can still see the towers in the background if you have old sort of DVDs of the film.
Oh, right. Ones that were produced before.
Digitally removed. And
wow.
Yep.
Put so much so much went into changing so much of the landscape because of that. But I do remember that about the film when it first came out.
Yep.
And that was a big rumor about it. Oh, you got to find the trailer, find it, because it's not going to be in the film. It's not part of it. Okay.
It's an interesting thing to find. And I think like the United States at the time, you know, obviously in this period of post 9/11, just post 9/11, and they kind of needed a hero, and Spider-Man came in and just became massive. Like, everybody went to see this film. It was the first film ever to make over $100 million in its opening weekend.
Really?
Ended up making about $113 million in its opening weekend in just the United States alone.
Okay.
It grossed like $825 million worldwide. 400 and something of that was just in the United States alone. Like, this thing was a juggernaut. It was huge.
Titanic? No, Titanic didn't beat Titanic.
No, so it didn't. Not it didn't outgrow Titanic, but it made more money quickly than any other film in history. Wow. It was just an absolute beast.
Started the ball rolling for Marvel.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I think you said it right. That New York needed a hero. The US needed a hero. I think the world needed a hero. You know, because that news spanned the globe, and it was nice to see something good come out of it. And you know what I really like about this superhero is that he doesn't use machinery for weaponry, machine weapons, no guns. I'm not a massive gun person, which you would know if you've seen a few of these episodes. I don't really like them. And with children, I don't like the whole gun fascination that kids have.
Yep.
And I've tried as long as I can to keep my kids away from it. And slowly it's creeping in with playing. But I don't like gun play at a young age, and I love that about Spider-Man. And I love that Spider-Man can be a kid's hero.
Yep.
So many children with Spider-Man outfits on, I love it. But when I see kids dressed up as Star Wars is Star Wars, but when I see like a 3-year-old in a Stormtrooper outfit, I'm like, wait, so you just, this kid is totally obsessed with guns and shooting people now. And to each his own.
Yeah.
You know, it depends how the family unit is. But that was my take. So I really love Spider-Man for that anyway.
Yeah, he's such a cool hero. For me, like, I've loved Spider-Man for years. I've got the comics and... but this was, obviously the first time that you got to see like a superhero like this on the big screen in such a like realistic way.
Yeah, yeah.
As a weird way to kind of put it.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen anything like it. And I was, what did this come out in 2002? So I would have been like 15 years old. So right in that sweet pocket of just completely wanting encapsulated.
To see it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was it. I was right in there. We saw him swinging through the streets.
Yeah.
We saw the web coming out of his wrist. We saw it all.
Yeah.
It didn't hide anything.
No.
He didn't just appear magically.
It was so good. I think they've since now really started to perfect Spider-Man.
Mm.
At the timing of recording this, like, Tom Holland for me is just pitch perfect as both Peter Parker and as Spider-Man. And if you like, we could do a quick little ranking of the spider people in my mind.
But can I give mine?
We might, you can. Actually, you know what, we might save it for another episode, maybe when we do a Tom Holland one, or maybe even a different Spider-Man film.
We'll do the full one, but let me spoil it, because for me number one is Tobey Maguire, because this is the only Spider-Man movie I've seen.
So he's the best and the worst.
Honestly, yes.
It's not.
This and the second one.
I know for a fact that this is not the only Spider-Man film
I saw
that you've
seen. I've seen the first two Spider-Men, both with Tobey Maguire.
I know that you've seen another one.
That's it. How do you know that? And which one was it?
Because we've spoken about it.
Was it very memorable?
Yes.
Well, is Tobey Maguire the Spider-Man?
You want to if you beep it out, I'll say it. What's the time? We could get a time code for you. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I have not seen it.
Really? No, I thought you'd seen it.
No.
Oh, Tobias is going to be furious.
I think he knows I haven't seen it.
You have to watch it.
I know. I have to, because I know how good it is. I know through the world ranking of what this film is and certain award ceremonies that it pipped Pixar at the post. I know it's a great film.
Okay, so don't beep it out. Yeah, it's incredible. It is one of the best films just ever made. It's so good.
Yeah, and I cannot wait to watch it.
Yeah.
I will watch it. There are lots of films that are going on the calendar that I haven't seen. This is how much I trust Lee's taste.
Oh, and Terrence has got films that he's mentioned to put on the calendar that I haven't seen as well. Like, The Shining was one. you wanted to put The Shining on for Halloween, for the month of October, and I'd never seen it before.
But I was so sure. I'm like, yeah, here it goes. You're going to love it.
I trust it.
So yeah, we there is a thing here going on with us where we haven't seen every single film on the calendar, but yes, we get together and we do talk about this, but... That film is one of them, and that holds my initial statement true, that Tobey Maguire is the best Spider-Man that I have seen in a Spider-Man film. Not one that there is a Spider-Man reference to.
You've got to watch it with your kids. Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, I plan to. Yeah. I watch this with my kids.
Yeah, and a box of tissues.
Aww.
All of those numbers and stats I was giving before about the box office, where it was like the first film to make... 100 million a weekend. That is, well, that all includes adjusting for inflation for any film that had ever been out as well. So it's just, and it was a beast. Mm-hmm. It was beaten then in a couple of years' time by other films, but I don't remember what they are. But this was the first one.
Yeah, that's a good record to hold.
Yeah, it was astonishing and well earned. Like this is an event film to see in the cinema.
Yes.
Do you want to get into the casting?
Let's get to the casting.
So I'd love to talk about some of the casting decisions. Do you want to start with any actors in particular?
Well, we've got to start with Tobey Maguire. The best Spider-Man.
That's that is not who I had to start with.
Why don't we start with him?
In fact, he's number Spider-Man. 3 that I've got.
Well, should we? Well, let's go to him for number 3.
Yeah. Okay. So Tobey Maguire, I think,
or number 1. Okay. Let's start with Tobey.
No. Let's start with Tobey. I think he made a really good Peter Parker. I know he was a good Spider-Man, but I think his Spider-Man he left me a little bit wanting. Yeah. Like he wasn't as quippy as I wanted him to be, and the quips that he had were just okay.
Yeah.
And one of them was a little bit problematic.
Yes, in early Spider-Man days.
Yeah.
In his old costume.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. He wasn't fast off the mark, and it was just like, meh, really? Meh.
Yeah.
We're going to say which one is problematic?
Oh, yeah, it's everyone knows. In the boxing ring when he does the cage match with Bonesaw McGraw.
Bonesaw.
It's such a cool scene. But yeah, when he jumps up on the cage bars and he's like, what are you doing up there? And he does the quip about, it's like, oh, that's a cute outfit. Did your husband make it for you? And then it's angry. Yeah, it's very homophobic, which is very not Spider-Man as well. So yeah, I have a problem with that. There's some really good memes about that as well, where... it's taken that picture and he's up there and he's like, that's a cute outfit. Did your husband make it for you? And he's like, yes, he did actually. It was for our anniversary. He's like, oh, well, it suits you very nicely. What a loving relationship you two must have. And then he jumps down and they keep fighting each other. That's how that scene should have gone.
Oh my. Or it should have just continued with the fight.
Should have just not happened. Yeah.
If you're going to say something funny, don't say something like that.
Yeah. Don't be homophobic.
Yeah. But, The other ones. I mean, the only other one I can really remember one.
Yeah.
And it's when he drops off MJ on the rooftop. I can't even remember what it was, but it just made me want to just that. You know.
Yeah, I can't even.
She says something like, "I've got a superhero stalker." And he's like, "Yeah, you." I don't even remember. Like,
I was in the neighborhood.
I was in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, that was a different scene. Just,
I couldn't.
You know who I am. Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Yeah, it's not good.
It was
good.
Just so contrived.
Yeah, the writing for Spider-Man is not fantastic. But Peter Parker, I think, he's done really well. Like, he's got genuine the good awkward troubles, and he's really awkward, and he's got horrible hair. He's just, the basic nerd. I think what was really cool is Tobey Maguire, he got fit.
He got jacked.
For this. He was huge.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He put on a lot of meat to play this role. In fact, the scene where he's, like, looking in the mirror...
Mm.
And he's all, buff and tan. And because apparently the spider powers give you a tan as well.
Was he tanned?
Yeah, he was more tan than what he was when he went to bed, which is so funny.
I have a friend who does body sculpting competitions. And the tan they put on is huge. Because if you have darker skin, the reflection of light is more pronounced. So it looks like there's much more of a defined curve.
That's why I don't look as ripped as I actually am. It's because I'm so pale. That makes sense now.
I don't know.
Because I'm actually huge.
That's why they oil up as well. Because oil makes a glossy reflection.
Yeah.
Just nuts. Anyway, but I think that's why. And people will rub tan in bodybuilding competitions and everything. It's a bit weird. Okay, I didn't recognize that he got tanned. I just recognized
it's like a little bit. Yeah,
his veininess. Yeah. I was like, what? Wait a second. Is that... Yeah, so it's there's like a, me in
there's
that
a,
film.
There's like a blurry shot of him, like when he's going to bed and he's about to pass out, and he's this real scrawny. Like that was done in CG
to scrawn his body up.
To like to make him really tiny.
Oh, Captain America style.
Captain America style, right? Before that even happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people thought that the ripped pictures of him were the CG ones. Yeah, and they're like, oh wow, that looks really good. Like, how did you do that in the computer? It's like, no, he did that.
Good on you.
So that's cool.
That gave me some nice vibes for Toby. I thought, oh, that looks so cool. That's the dedication to your craft kind of thing. But if you've got Marvel paying you to do that,
oh yeah,
you will be able to do that.
When you've got Sony's budget behind you, you can kind of do anything.
The Chris Pratt, right? That was his quote. How did you get so buffed?
I want you to be on my in my superhero film, you fat bastard diet.
That's one. The Disney diet.
Yeah, get fat so you can be in my super. Oh, sorry, get fit so you can be in my superhero film.
Yeah, I would do that too. Sometimes I wish that I would land some huge role.
Same.
Where it's not a slob character.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jeff Bridges, Lebowski. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks.
Man, if he was going to be a superhero and buffed, he'd be totally different. Although you never know what's under those robes.
No, he could be jacked like Spider-Man.
I'm gonna visualize that when I rewatch it. I only rewatched it a little while ago.
He was fit when he was young. I think, yeah, with Toby as well, he's and we'll move on to other characters very soon.
Yes,
other
actors. Too much about Toby's body.
He's a bit old for me. Like it's,
yeah, okay.
But everyone is, except for Kirsten Dunst.
How old is Spider-Man meant to be?
Like 15, 16.
Oh, he's a young teenager.
He's a kid. Like when he first gets bitten, he's like 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So it takes me out a little bit when I go back and watch it now. So what? But Toby has this real boyish charm about him that kind of comes through, and they are graduating high school and moving into college.
Yeah,
so they do play it as an older, bitten on the hand.
What else is Toby in? I can't even think of any other films that Toby Maguire is in.
Oh my god, he's been in heaps of things.
I know.
He was in The Great Gatsby. If you saw that, Brothers. Thanks.
Next.
Nah, I'm not going to bother.
When I saw him, I was like, oh, Tobey Maguire's in this. Of course I know who he is, and I would have seen many, many films. He's not my favourite actor. Sorry, Toby, if you watch this. I think it was just, if you watch this.
Hopeful.
not my favourite. And I was quite thankful that the mask came on quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because then I could believe Spider-Man was Spider-Man.
The costume is incredible.
Point. Yeah.
The costume for Spider-Man is done really well, which like no teenage kid from Queens could afford that costume.
Yeah,
as broke as he is. So that's a Sony budget. You're not getting that without $200,000.
Yeah, and he's a great designer too. So he designed his own suit, right?
Yes,
he's got really good drawing skills.
Incredible. He could get a job with that. I think
it was good.
The person who I wanted to start off the casting discussion with. I'm glad.
Right,
we're
done with Toby.
Yeah,
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, just that's cool. We'll kind of go through it. Yep. It's J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, all right.
For me, this is one of the best casting decisions for a comic book film ever. Like, he's up there for me with, like, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, Heath Ledger as the Joker. Like, it's just... It is so perfect that the casting decision transcends, like, the multiverse where he's actually ends up being cast as the same character in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
With Tom Holland.
I ended up really looking forward to it whenever I realized the set was in the paper...
The Daily Bugle.
Office. Yeah. Whenever they were there, I got excited.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see him do more yelling.
Yeah.
Like, he's very quick. He's very fast. I like his character.
He's
I love
so
his
great.
Flat top.
Yeah.
I love his mo.
His wig.
His... flat top.
It's
his
a wig.
Haircut.
It's a wig. Yeah. It's a great wig. It is
stop
up there with
talking
the best
about
one.
That. That's his natural.
It's not a. It's not a diss. It's a great wig. I have an eye for good wigs in cinema.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah, it's a fantastic
cinema?
One. Yeah, of course. It's like a thing. I have a thing with it.
Well, yes, and we know there are lots of them. But it was good. I loved him in it too.
He's so funny. He's by far and away the funniest character in the entire film.
He gives so much energy to the whole universe. I think that whole world runs off his need to fuel this city of people that are sleeping, and they need this excitement in their lives, and it's because of him.
Yeah,
he's driving this.
Yeah. He's just a gorgeous character on screen. And like, again, in the subsequent films as well, he's just marvelous.
Oh, cool.
Love him. Love him. More J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson, please.
And I want to see him jacked as well.
Oh, yeah. He got super fit when he did, like, I don't know, one of the Batman films, Justice League or something. He got, like, super fit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's photos of it. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, also a film that will end up on the calendar. Spoilers. No, there's nothing here for it.
Oh, okay.
Whiplash, where he won his Oscar.
Yes, I've seen some trailers of this.
Yeah.
And it was extremely intriguing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It was my favorite film of 2014 when it came out. I worked in a cinema the year it came out.
Yeah.
And we had the Australian premiere of it in the cinema that I worked in.
There's drumming, right?
Yeah, the drumming one.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Miles Teller. Hello. One of the dog noises that we talked about.
Dog shaky. Yep.
Okay. Done. All right. With him.
Yep. Okay.
Next.
Next. Who's next? I don't know. I'm like, yep, Toby, cool. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to talk about Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin. He was my number two person that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, cool.
Because he lobbied for this role. Like, he fought for it. He really wanted to do it. Yep.
It was made for him.
No.
No, I mean, like...
He's perfect.
Yes, yeah.
He's absolutely perfect in this role. And it's such a shame that they covered up his face.
Because no, he doesn't need to.
When you have a face like this...
Oh, man. Am I putting it up?
You're going to put it in, yeah. This is a still that I want you to put on. When you have a face like that, why do you need a helmet?
When he does the...
Yes.
Him and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
They're the two creepy faces that are the best creepy faces.
The smirk, the smile with the wide eyes, yeah. You don't need to put him in a mask.
Right,
yeah.
The face in there.
Incredible. So this casting decision... was originally supposed to be for an actor called Billy Crudup.
Yeah.
You know Billy?
Yeah.
Personally?
I know Billy Crudup from Almost Famous.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. Watchmen. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's a brilliant...
I haven't seen Watchmen yet.
He's a brilliant actor. And he would have been great, but Willem Dafoe is... He really wanted to do this. He got the script, loved it, identified with the character, thought he could do some really good work, so he fought... To try and be a part of it, ended up getting it.
Yeah.
And then asked the production company, it's like, I want to be able to do all of my own stunts.
Surfing on a spaceship around Times Square?
Yeah. So he...
Oh, he's so good at that.
He worked out and trained so much, he was able to do about 95% of his own stunts. Much so that when he got in the suit and he didn't have the mobility that he needed, he made them make the entire thing again flexible enough so that he could do all of his own stunt work.
Wow.
And he was able to get a grasp of the glider better than some of the stunt team members who were trained to do it.
Wow.
He was so good because he just wanted the authenticity of it.
That's great. That's great. I mean, when he got injected with his serum at the beginning, I'm thinking, man, you're doing all right too, because he's getting up there in age in this film.
Yeah. He was fit.
Yeah. That's really good to know.
Yeah, they didn't have the technology to kind of CGI skinny him down. Which
no computers in the world could do that.
No, incapable.
That was good. I like seeing actors that are, you know, in their mature years. I come off sounding really weird now that I need to see good fit bodies. It's about health, people.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, I think it's really shines on them.
There's nothing wrong with admiring.
No, but I don't want to feel elitist with what I see and I don't know what I'm. I'll just stop talking.
No, it's fine. But no, he is, yeah,
you know what
he
I mean.
Is just an awesome character. Again, I said I was really sad that they went with the motorcycle suit and the helmet.
Oh, man, that helmet.
Yeah.
Oh. With the airbrushing spray jobs with the metallic paint and the very... I really felt Power Rangers-y.
It was very Power Rangers-esque.
Yeah.
It worked. They had a sort of backstory for it where they had... Like, you obviously saw in his office there was a bunch of masks.
There are lots of masks, yeah.
So it was a thing for him.
Yeah.
And it was part of the suit that helped with the glider. So, like, I got it.
It was like a helmet
thing. Yep.
Yeah. Which was an army-backed or military-backed experiment, right?
Yeah.
They were going to make these super fighters.
Yeah, classic.
With scary helmets.
There's a scene that I want to get to in What About When, specifically about Willem Dafoe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the scene where he talks in the mirror to himself.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get about
it. Yeah, we'll do it then. But yeah, I am going to talk about that in What About When.
All right.
So that's it. That's kind of all I had for the the casting choices.
All right.
Is there anyone else in particular you wanted to shout out?
Yes. Look, that you can't just talk about a couple of others. We're not going to talk in depth about them, but Kirsten Dunst.
Fantastic.
Great role. Great upside down kisser.
Yes.
Although...
Hashtag what about when?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. We didn't talk about our what about whens, but that's what a scene. Okay. That what about when? Joe, the bully. Joe, finish my word.
Mangianello.
Mangian.
You asked me to finish it. You don't have to say it.
I don't know why I cannot say his surname, and I hate mispronouncing people's names. But I loved seeing him. I totally forgot that he was in this film. I underestimate how huge he is.
He's a monster.
And as a young guy, like, I don't know how old he was in this film. Probably 35.
Probably about 45. Yeah.
I don't think so. He was really, really young.
No, he was young.
Like, he's got good facial hair and everything.
But he doesn't. He's not a teenager.
I reckon he's probably early 20s.
He's not a teenager.
We could easily find out.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to find out. But I loved it. Look, a few years ago, I liked watching True Blood. And if there are any True Blood watchers out there, you don't have to be Uber fans, but you know that he's in the...
Never seen it.
In the series. He's a werewolf. He's super cool in it. And
I can see that.
Because he's beard and all this. And look, and a bit of salt and pepper in it as well. Yeah. People often say, like, to me, are you related to... No, they don't ever say
to who? To who, Terrence? To who? Would you like to say his name?
Joe. Yeah, Joe, right. That's it. No one has ever said that
Joe
to me.
Joe Pesci.
But, you know, I really... I did the laugh different. To got be him. Like, yeah, sorry. But, yeah, I liked him. And he was in another film that I had unfortunately been... I'm not going to say forced, but I'd watched many times over. And it was a Pee Wee Herman film. As you know, I have a couple of young children and things get watched on repeat. And there's a movie called Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
And he's in that, is he?
And he is in it and he plays himself.
Oh, that's fun. And I like it when actors do
it
that.
It is. It's a really fun film. I mean, it's a Pee Wee Herman film. It's a bit zany and it's great for young kids, but he plays himself and he ends up being best friends with Pee Wee Herman and he has so much in common with Pee Wee, but he plays himself. So it's really humbling and it's a beautiful little story and a nice little role. So to see him in Spider-Man.
That's cute.
And I totally forgot. I thought, oh, yeah. I'm really
this,
glad.
Yeah, this was his first film. So it's fun. Wow. It's really fun to see him in this. I've got a really cool story. About him in What About When's as well. So I'll save it for then.
Yeah, all right.
I'd love to talk about Sam Raimi and just the direction of this film.
Okay.
Because he cared so much about these characters and about this world. Like this, without this film being in such good hands as his, there's not really a Marvel Cinematic Universe. Even though this came out 6 years before Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like the tone and just the color palette and again the care that he had for his characters both inside and outside of their suits, their superhero personas, was really a trailblazing effort to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's the reason why we care so much about Tony Stark's Iron Man, because they cared about Tony Stark as much as they did Iron Man. In fact, it was more about him than the alter ego. And there was a lot of that happening in this film. So I think, without this, you don't get any of that. And Sam Raimi knew it, which is what helped to make the film so successful.
It's kind of like the early Simpsons drawings compared to what the Simpsons very quickly became after that. That allowed us to fall in love with the idea of the Simpsons.
Yep.
And then they kind of graduated and went, we can polish this a little bit.
Yeah.
That's going to be my metaphor for that.
Awesome. That works. It works. I love
analogy.
I really like... Because he comes from an indie film background, like he did Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2.
Hence, we see an Evil Dead character ringmaster.
Bruce Campbell, so good. There was supposed to be like a subplot thread throughout all of the Spider-Man films that he was going to be the character called Mysterio, who we see in Spider-Man Far From Home, which you'll get to see at some point.
I was going
to
say that. Yeah. I knew that.
Yes, no you didn't. Don't stop lying to the listeners and watchers. And so he came from this background of these real gritty kind of horror independent films. So he knows how to make things on a budget and make things look good in camera. And so much of the action that happens in this film is done in camera. Like there's not a lot of CG for like the hand-to-hand combat. Like it's all done and like you're watching Spider-Man get thrown into walls and out windows.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
Like the fight scene at the end in the graveyard is so brutal.
Yeah.
He does not shy away from the horror of watching, like letting the audience watch Peter Parker get the absolute life beaten out of him by the Green Goblin.
Smash it against brick walls.
Yep.
Where for some reason bricks just fall out of the middle of the walls. But there are no holes left in the wall. Have you noticed that?
No, I didn't see that. Like, continuity's hilarious.
No, no, like bricks were kind of just propped, stuck on the wall very gently. And when it hit the wall, the bricks would just go boop and fall off. So it looked, I noticed it a few times. Like, that's a nice thing to see.
That's hilarious.
It's a movie.
But yeah, watching like Goblin get, you know,
oh yeah, done by his own.
Done by his own gliders, right in the yeah. stomach. Yeah, like as fun and family friendly and enjoyable this is to watch with your kids, like yeah. that last fight scene is absolutely brutal.
Yeah, yeah, and I was watching with the kids. I was fine. I was fine with that. You know, accidents happen.
Whoops, sorry, kids.
Hey, he's fine. He's fine. My little 8-year-old. He's fine.
Yeah, but yeah. So I really like that he used CG to kind of enhance the things that were already done in camera, which is cool. There's a couple of really nice,
like what,
because
the only CG things I can think of is the swinging through the streets.
Oh, there's like a and couple of like the explosions and stuff, like a okay. lot of the, like when Goblin attacks the balcony,
yes,
like, and it all falls down, like they actually have a balcony there and Mary Jane hanging off it,
yeah,
and falling, and Spider-Man is there jumping off. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
Like, there's a world in which a lot of all of that is done in CG and you don't get to see it all. So, yeah, well done to Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Now, you know how much I love attention to detail.
No, you don't pick much up at all. You didn't know about the bricks.
So, true, very true. You got me there. I didn't notice the bricks.
Next.
Now, whilst this film isn't, like, a Get Out or an Inside Out with its, you know, attention to detail, or a Parasite for that matter... There's a specific scene that I want to shout out where it's the Thanksgiving dinner scene.
Yes, in James Franco, what's his name? In his Harry new apartment. Yep. Harry's apartment.
Yeah, Harry's a beautiful apartment.
Oh,
classic New York, New very York expensive. Loft, kind yeah. of it's so nice.
Warehouse style, but yep. got all the mod cons in it. Yeah.
So when Norman comes over for dinner. And notices that Park has got the scratch. Did you notice the clothes that they're wearing?
The slash on his arm. The clothes? Yeah. I probably did because I noticed they were not naked.
Yeah, so they were wearing clothes. For the fact
that they were wearing clothes.
But no, so Peter Parker, and this is just a little thing, and it's definitely on purpose, but it's one of those things that I really love. Peter Parker is wearing the Green Goblin colour, so he's wearing a green shirt and a green tie. Norman Osborn is wearing Spider-Man colours. He's got a blue shirt and a red tie. And Harry is wearing both. So, because he's caught between the two worlds. And it's just, it's those little attention to detail moments that I think Sam Raimi has because he has so much love for the world. And again, without that, the movie doesn't work.
No, that's great to know. I really like those things, those little details. And it's all the visual subliminal action that goes on. And that's why the directors that are great directors are great directors, because of that attention and for that storytelling ability, with not just the didactic stuff, you know, that I'll say what happens. You need the visual representation. That's the medium that we're talking about. They need to be able to put their energy into those little things to help tell the story.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Really good. Nice pickup.
Yeah. Yeah. I love stuff like that. It's my jam. Yeah.
Inside Out has a great Inside Out, a great one with the clothing,
color. Really cool stuff.
Go watch Inside Out.
Oh,
brilliant episode, brilliant film, and a nice little clothing pickup in that too.
Episode number two,
I think. I don't know, probably. Yeah, it was
Parasite
way
and Inside
back.
Out, one of the first ones. Oh, I think actually single that was digits. The one I didn't quite have the camera set up properly, and it was really close to my face. So that episode is just like two massive faces on the screen. Maybe listen to that episode instead of watching it on YouTube.
Great episode, nonetheless.
It's a very good episode, yeah. Oh, I love that film. It's so gorgeous. Did you watch Soul?
Yes.
Oh,
I did.
I have to talk about that after.
Yep.
I watched it on Christmas Day. So beautiful.
Yeah, me too.
Cried my eyes out.
Again, I watched it with my boy. Yeah.
Now, I was going to go into family. I was going to go into What About When, because that's all I kind of had. But okay. I did want to give a shout out. I haven't written it down to the score.
Okay, good. I didn't really pay attention too much to the score. I was just into the story and into the spectacle, the adventure. I was watching this as a film.
Yeah.
A film goer.
I get that. But like the music in this film... is just phenomenal, including Macy Gray.
that scene is
just so good. Nah. Very, very dates it, but I love it.
It happens.
It's so good to see it. Yeah.
Again, I totally forgot about that.
So the score is done by Danny Elfman.
Yeah, okay.
And he's really channeling Batman vibes in this one, like 1989 Batman.
Michael
Keaton.
Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah, directed by Tim Burton. The score is so perfect for this world and for Spider-Man. It's just become synonymous with the character. Like, you'd know it if you saw it. The dog is really wanting some attention right now. Sorry.
He's all over me.
But, like, here's a list of some composers who have had a crack at doing Spider-Man themes in future films after this. So, there's been, like, James Horner, Hans Zimmer, Michael Giacchino. Like, big names in the industry. Michael Giacchino's score is really good for Homecoming, to be fair.
Recognize that name as well.
Yeah, he's huge. He did the score for Inside Out.
Mm-hmm. That's why I recognize that.
Bunch of Disney stuff. Yeah. He's an excellent composer. The Incredibles theme.
Oh, cool. Go look all these people up that Lee's spouting off the top of his head. Go look them up. See what they've done. See the films that they're into. He's a little canine creature is pawing at me as I'm moving my hands in animatic.
He probably wants some dinner.
Gestures. Yeah.
It's quite late and he's probably hungry.
When you hear these names, go look up what they've done. Go see their films because there's a reason we're talking about them. They're doing some really good stuff.
They are excellent composers, but they do not hold a candle to the Danny Elfman score in this film. Yeah. When it comes to Spider-Man specifically, he absolutely crushed it. And that's all I have to say about that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to have to rewatch it and really pay attention. Usually I pay a lot of attention to all the different bits.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
No, the score is really good. Like if I played you a couple of bars from just the Spider-Man theme in this film, you'd be like, "Oh, it's Spider-Man." Yeah. Even without any reference, you'd be able to get it. It's so synonymous.
Well, that's good.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about before we got into What About When? If you'd like to check your
I have some notes here and I wanted to look. I think more of the things that I've got here are more observational in terms of what happened in the films. Nice moments, funny moments, things that I thought, that's a bit weird, you know. But again, I think of the time of the filmmaking and also of the lightheartedness of the style, I guess.
Yep.
You know, we're talking about this superhero film being about more color and more about the characters as their human selves rather than their alter egos.
Yep.
Stylized. It's very stylized, but little things like the Macy Gray concert, you know, where they do this and it's about which Sony artist can we promote?
Exactly.
Let's chuck her in there, you know, there's things like that. But you know, like the spider thing, and I had to explain this to my kids. They I don't know, they don't get little things sometimes, but when they're walking through the spider lab, which is very weird that it's in this historical building, like wouldn't this building be like fully like insect protected? There are probably normal spiders up there as well. Like, just you'd clean the whole thing. Super military grade stuff going on. But I just thought it was so hilarious, the setup of it, where she says, and all these spiders that they're picking out, this one does very strong webs and this one's super fast and everything. This one jumps
to get its prey.
And what we've done is we've bred 15 of them.
Super spiders.
And then she just happens to look at the empty casing. No, 14. No, there's 15. Oh, one must have got out. Well, we'll find it later.
Yeah. Oh, they must be testing on that one. Like, it's a comic book film.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous.
I'm there just going, come on, what are we doing? And it's just these five little jars that look like those glass bricks that you see in 80s bathrooms.
Yeah. It's probably what they were.
Just in the middle of the room. Just on display. Here's what we're doing.
There's a lot of stuff like that.
But I loved it. I loved that the spider just drops. And all through this, I'm elbowing my son. Watch. Look at the colors on the spider's back. Look at the colors.
Yeah. He's just a real spider, by the way.
Dad, shut up.
They had a real spider. I don't know what kind of spider it was, but they had one and they
painted it.
Put it under anesthesia and they painted it. So no harm.
Oh my goodness. It was fine. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
And they trained it
They trained it.
Yeah, I know.
To not bite anyone. Spiders with that large abdomen are usually not nice ones.
Right.
In Australia, we have the redback.
We have a lot of bad spiders.
The redback spider or the black widow spider looks just like that spider. Look that one up.
Yeah. Look, it wasn't a black widow. I know that.
Yeah. Well, it looked similar and it could have been a redback. I don't know. Half the job would have been done already.
Yeah, just do blue around the edges.
That's a scary spider to bump into if you're ever visiting Australia and you go into someone's garage or shed. Just be careful.
Yeah, don't put any boots without shaking them first.
The stories you hear are true. You know, it's not all made up. Some of these things are real. Yeah, yeah. It's a scary little spider. But, you know, things like that were hilarious. Funny little setups that you would see in a comic book.
Yeah.
You're talking about the clothing, the color of the clothing. You know, everything is green. It's a green goblin. I love how the serum is green. The big signage on the walls are green. The smoke coming into the chamber is green. Everything's green. It really needs to paint the scene. Again, very comic book style. Very stylized. Very fun.
Yeah. Before you get it too far too away from dark. It,
yeah.
the smoke inhalation scene when Goblin is getting his powers and it's that green smoke. Yeah. They had to... That's digitally done. It's not actually green. It's white smoke that they've turned green in post. Sam Raimi wanted to make it green, but they found out that there was no way to do it without it not being toxic.
Yeah. So I was going to say that something smoke. Would be in it making it green and he would be breathing that in.
Yeah. So they were like, oh, fine, we won't kill Willem Dafoe. We'll do it in post, I guess. We're not getting this one in camera. Sorry, Willem.
Let's rewrite this one. Let's do this at the last scene. How do we make sure that he...
I'm glad Willem didn't want to go method and be like, no, he hit me with the green.
Oh, my God. One of the quips he does is Peter Parker. Have you already eaten? When he walks in with this big welt on his hand. Which, of course, being bitten by a spider,
Are you sure you don't want to bite?
In a spider lab, you wouldn't go tell anyone you've been bitten? I've already had a bite.
Yeah.
I've already had a bite, thanks. That was funny. And then one more I'm going to say, and this one pointed out by my daughter as well, and I was thinking at the same time, when NJ walks out of the second job, the job that she's ashamedly had to get...
At the Moon Something Cafe.
It's very sad that she's ashamed to say that she's got to work here. It's about
status, right?
Yeah, that's really sad. But she walks out and Peter stops her and they have a chat. And I was thinking this all the way through the chat. My daughter looks at me and she goes, why were they stopped in the middle of the road talking? I'm glad you saw that. Very astute. With all the things that she can miss, she noticed that as well.
You can't do that in New York City.
Why do they do that?
I've been to New York too many times. You can't do that in New York City.
Why do directors do those kinds of things?
Because it's really cinematic. Weird. Yeah.
But put them on the footpath.
Again, it's a comic book film. It's a heightened reality.
I know. It
doesn't have to make sense. I would love to move into...
What about Wens?
What about Wens?
All right, let's do it.
So now, episode 30, Spider-Man, first episode in the new year. We're going to do our hashtag, What About Wens. Contributions for this are most welcome. We love them on Twitter, on Instagram. We are at TheMovieCal. You can email us as well. We are TheMovieCal@gmail.com. All of these can be found in the description below or on our website, TheMovieCalendar.com.
Nice.
First one back and nailed it.
Nailed it. Yeah, we've had a bit of a hiatus.
There
have been a couple of weeks. We've been a bit dry with
that. We had a bit of a break. Yeah. Bit of a break.
Yes. Well done, Lee. Mm. It's like you've been practicing. Have you been doing more of these without me?
I'm in the mirror every day.
Ripped.
Yeah, you're like, gross. No, absolutely not. Put on my fake tan and my oil. If you've just come to this section because you're from a time code and that makes no sense to you, we mentioned it at some point when we were talking about Tobey Maguire. It'll be in there.
There's a reason.
That would have been so funny if people just jumped into that.
There's context. What about Wens? Now, I put a little thing on Insta, but again, with our break, people might have missed it. I don't have any contributions from Insta. I don't have any emails.
None from Twitter, but that's okay. I've got a couple.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Would you like to start?
Yeah, I'll start. What about the first time he realizes that he has spidey abilities and crawls up the wall?
I didn't have that one. That is so iconic.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Incredible.
That was the moviegoer in me and the little fan going, he's going to climb. I want to see him climb the wall. And the little hairs spiking out, the little barbs on the...
And again, all done practically. So that was on a giant rotating set where he could walk on the ground, put his hands on the wall, and then it would twist and you got that dun.
Really cool.
Dun. Oh, really so cool. Good.
And they do that, the rotating sets or at least the sideways sets a few times in the film.
Yeah.
But that, just the scene, just where you see it come to life. That's my first what about when. He may be off camera.
He's not. He's probably on camera. Oscar,
Oscar. I might go and blur him out till we give an official reveal. Yeah.
We're gonna do a
dog, this little cutie,
a dog reveal on episode 100, I think. Because why not?
Why not,
Oscar?
Right. Oscar, off you get.
Crate. Off you get. Go into your bed. Crate.
In you get.
He's not. Nah. Yeah. There we go. It's off like he goes.
A travel crate that you've got for him.
It's very cute. It was the he loves it. It's his little home. So I have a hashtag. What about when Peter beats up the bully at school?
Oh, that's mine. That's my second one.
Sorry, it was my number one. And who does he beat up?
Joe
Manganiello.
Yep.
In his first ever film. I love this scene. So we get to see how the spider sense works for the first time. Everything's slow-mo. Yeah. So cool. I love that fight where we get to see, the slow motion. You can just put a picture of it up here.
I'm trying to do it here. Why am I doing that?
Yes. Just put it here. It's fine. That slow motion. Huh.
I might have to blur all that out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to act myself punching.
Yeah, no. So I love that scene. I have a really fun fact.
Yeah.
Kind of fun fact. A funny fact about that scene.
Yeah.
Apparently, the crew on the film all kind of pitched together and got money and offered Joe a substantial amount of money if he punched Tobey Maguire in the face, which he obviously didn't do because it was his first film and he didn't want to be fired. But yeah, he says that apparently the crew got together and were like, just once, make like an accident, give him a little, just a little a clip on the cheek.
Was he not liked as a?
I don't know. As a, I don't think so.
Co-worker, maybe. On set?
I don't know. But wow. But that story, I think, is a little bit funny.
Rumor mill is going crazy.
Violence
right
is
now.
Not okay, but no, that's a little bit cheeky.
I think that's why that's one of my what about when's, because any scene where a bully gets his day by the person who he's been bullying, any way that they portray that, as long as it's not illegal, is a great scene.
Yeah.
We've all got our personal moments.
Yeah.
And it was great.
We normally go back and forth with what about when's, but that actually leads really well into my next one, if it's okay.
Yeah.
And it's what about when Peter and Uncle Ben have the conversation in the car where we get the speech, with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm.
Because he does. He talks about that fight. And so he has no doubt that kid deserved it. But just because you can beat somebody up doesn't give you the right to. It is such a perfect message, and it is so beautifully encapsulates what the character of Spider-Man is and was for decades before, and will continue to be that beacon of innocence and hope.
Yeah.
In fact, it was done so well by what was the actor's name? Cliff Robertson. He gave that speech and delivered that line so perfectly that it literally should never have ever, ever, ever had to be done again in any other Spider-Man film, because it was, everyone knew.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case. No, because it was delivered again in almost every other film.
Really?
Yeah. They did a really good job in Captain America: Civil War, where we get introduced to Spider-Man in the MCU in that film, played by Tom Holland.
Yeah.
They do a really good scene on the bed with Tony Stark where he talks about how, you know, if I have a responsibility of, you know, if bad things happen and I have the power to stop it, then if I do nothing, then it's like I'm causing the problem. And it's a really roundabout way of, because Uncle Ben is gone in that world already, which is the correct way to do Spider-Man films from now on, Hollywood. Don't do any more Uncle Ben deaths, please. We've seen enough.
Have there been more Uncle Ben deaths?
Yes.
Where Uncle Ben... Uncle Ben,
yeah.
I still can't say it slowly, comes back into the story?
Yeah, well, not
in... Well, not back in, like, reincarnate, but...
It was the Amazing Spider-Man was made a few years later with Andrew Garfield, directed by Mark Webb, and who was playing Uncle Ben?
Uncle Ben was in it again?
Yeah, I know, was shot. It was pretty much the exact same film, but with a different villain.
Okay.
And a different love interest. But yeah, it was done so perfectly here in the car. You didn't have to ever see it again.
It was beautiful. This was where I think this was the... I didn't mind Tobey Maguire's acting in this. I think acting, I don't rate Tobey Maguire too huge. And in Spider-Man, it was all right because he did play awkward and didn't know what the hell was going on in his life anyway. So his face worked.
Yep.
Sorry again, Toby. Sorry, Tobes. But yeah, that scene in the car was pretty... I'm not going to say gut-wrenching, but pretty serious.
Yeah, there was a good amount of emotion in there. Like, yeah, it was heartfelt. They were in that moment together. It was very believable.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. You know what? I totally forgot. Until Peter comes back from fighting and letting the robber go.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
That it was him.
That it was Uncle Ben that got
carjacked.
Shot.
Yeah.
And that it was the guy. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe I forgot that.
Yeah.
And again, I'm telling my son, you know who did that? You know who did that?
It's like, Dad, I'm trying to watch.
Like, shut up. I don't think he knew who did that. But no. Then I go to my daughter, I'm like, did you see who did that? Did you see who did that? Remember? Watch him when he takes his beanie off.
Yeah.
Remember the hair? It's
again,
the same guy.
Another brutal bit when he, snaps the guy's wrist and
threw the...
He didn't throw him out. He tripped. But
no, I meant...
He let him...
Oh, yeah.
He
I
let
did
him
say
fall.
Through, didn't I? Yeah, yeah. He didn't... I meant through the
through
window.
Through the window,
not
yeah.
he threw him. Yeah.
No, perfect.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that either.
No.
Because I was thinking when I was watching this the second time, I thought, how does he... Does he die here? Oh.
Yep.
Oh, there's a death of a baddie. But not through Spider-Man's hand.
No. They get around
directly.
It just.
Yeah. How did it happen? How did he...
He tripped on a little pipe.
Ah, it's easy to put in. Yeah, let's make him trip on his own. It was his own silliness.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been there in the first place.
You got another what about when?
Probably. What about when? Look, there are going to be a couple for this. But what about when we actually see Spider-Man flying through the streets and he goes on his first kind of joy swing?
Yeah.
Woohoo! And he's kind of working it out that he can go from one to the other. Just, I think the physics of it as well, trying to work out how he has to change directions.
Yeah,
he's
going straight for a building. He's like, oh, I've got to go this way now. And
exactly.
Then
I think
let
it was
go of
good.
That one.
And of course, I'm thinking of, okay, where did that web land? Is there a building that high up there? But I don't care.
Yeah.
I found myself very quickly not needing to worry
There's a really cool, like... known in the lore of Spider-Man when it comes to him. If you can't see what he's swinging off, it's a helicopter. it's a thing, like in the comics. Yeah, like it's... Yeah, if the web goes like off the screen and you don't see where it lands and it looks too high to be a building, it's a helicopter.
That's ridiculous.
That's how they get around it. It's so funny.
I believe more...
I love it.
...that he shoots a web that has like a very light ballooning style... A kind of expanding thing, and it goes so high into the stratosphere that it expands, and through buoyancy, just
he's able to.
He can. I think that one's more believable.
No, yeah, but like that's the thing.
That's
that,
awesome.
Like comic book writers are like, oh, I don't know what he's able to swing on here, and it's
obviously
it goes off screen, and it's a helicopter,
obviously,
which is just so fun.
Obviously.
I love it. There is a film where he does swing off a helicopter.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which is cool. So I love that. I have hashtag what about when. They have the upside down kiss in the rain.
Oh, yes.
That
very
is
romantic.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely.
I should peel this upside down. Unpeel this. I should flip my...
Well, she does it, so you need to bring...
Yeah, these are her hands.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's very hairy.
And only goes to there.
Yeah. Again, iconic. Absolutely iconic moment for cinema. And has been parodied to death.
Oh, so much.
And done over and over again. It won MTV's Best Kiss the year that it came out.
Oh, I'm glad it did. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
And they recreated it on stage, I think.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did they suspend him? Was it through his web?
Yeah, I don't know.
You I don't know.
How I did it.
Come
I
on,
seen it.
You should tell me these things.
I'm a movie person, not an MTV Music
what about,
Award person.
What about when he goes web and he's trying all the different.
Web.
He's trying
Fly.
The different.
Shazam!
Shazam's Marvel, right?
Well,
or is it DC?
No, it's DC. Yeah. Captain Marvel / Shazam. Yeah. So, and also Up, Up and Away is
Superman,
right? So yeah, he does it. And Superman is referenced in this film as well.
Shazam was a cartoon I used to watch when I was little. Not too little to remember, but it was these two characters, a boy and a girl who had half rings each. And when they connected them together and said Shazam, and it was a ring that had a big lightning bolt. And that was the cut between them. I went, pew, and Shazam would appear, I think. And he would save the day.
That was probably from
amazing.
The DC comic.
And they went,
Shazam! Yeah. Shazam's got an interesting history with the comics. But we're not going to get into that. No time.
No.
But yeah, that's all I had for What About When.
I have another one. What about when we see him as Spider-Man again in his testing, jumping across the rooftops?
Yeah, that's cool.
Early parkour. Okay, and what about
Peter
when...
Parkour.
Wah!
I hate nice. Myself.
Good work there. Nice. And what about when he finally slams into the wall at the end of his fun? But when he does it, it's a poster of a lady driving a car looking out the window, and it's a windscreen of a car. And he's a bug that goes into the windscreen of a car.
It's very clever. Attention to detail, am I right?
I'm right. Good pick. I'm right. I think that's all my What About
That's it for What About When.
Wait, I think it is.
We're done. We're going to move on.
Yes, that's... You're lucky. Yes, that's the end of What About When. Lucky. You're announcing the end of it.
We are going to add Spider-Man 2002 onto the movie calendar. Yes. Now, we have a couple of honorable mention dates when it comes to this film. We didn't receive any contributions, sadly enough. But we're excited to add it to the calendar nonetheless. If you would like to contribute, please do so. If you have any films that you want to appear, let us know with a date and a good story to go along with it.
Email the stories. If you got a long explanation, email them.
We might be able to add it on the calendar for you. We've got a couple in the pipeline ready to go that we're going to record that we have dates for from contributions. I'm very excited to do those.
Yes, and also films that we know that are going on, and we already know the dates that they're going to go on. So that's why there are a couple of honorable mentions with this one.
Yeah, because there's a couple of placeholder dates that we have on the calendar that are already taken that we can't put it on. So one of those dates...
So one of the dates, while we're trying to find what we're doing, we're scrolling through, thinking of all the moments in the film, what caught our eye, and of course, there are a couple of shots of a newspaper, and we all know that pictures newspapers show the date.
Give me pictures of Spider-Man!
Yep, so the freeze frame, and the date there is October 21st.
Correct.
We're not going to tell you which film we think will go on it, but... Any if keen you're a, people out there?
If you're a film fan, you'd probably be able to guess what movie we are going to put on October 21st.
We'll let you guess that one.
Yep.
And it's going on the calendar on that date. So
we can't put Spider-Man on that date. That one's taken. Another one that we had that we were going to put it on was going to be June 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why we were going to put it on that date...
But we're not putting it on that date.
We're not putting it on that date was because we have another film lined up on there because we had a contribution email from someone with their favorite film, and that is their birthday. That one we are recording very, very soon. Keep an eye out for that. So
we'll honor that.
So we can't do that one. Yeah. Oh, the reason why we were going to put on that date was because that was the date that the first Spider-Man comic was released on sale.
The very first Spider-Man in 1962?
That sounds about right.
We just read it before the episode.
Yeah, 62, 63, something like that. In the 60s.
That was... Did you say the date that was?
Yes, I did.
June 5th.
Yep, correct. Yep.
All right, so that one's going... somewhere. So if you've got some friends who their birthday falls on June 5th,
it might be them.
Ask them if they've emailed us or contacted us and
just
told
ask
us
them what their favorite movie is. What a great way to start a conversation. But the movie, the date that we have chosen for Sam Raimi's Spider-Man is going to be August 15th.
Wiley, why?
Good question. And the reason for that is because Spider-Man, the character in the comics, made his debut in the comic book Amazing Fantasy number 15, which had the August date on it because comics were released monthly. And so in reference to that and to celebrate that comic, which is a very expensive book if you manage to get your hands on one, they're worth an absolute fortune. Take care of it if you have one.
We'll send it in here.
We'll give it to us. We'll put it... Oh, well, please, we'll put it on there.
We will have a place for it. It will knock off Thor's hammer.
In my humble or spare bedroom.
The Infinity Stone, or one of the ones you don't care about, it'll just knock it off. I'm
proud of you for knowing that was an Infinity Stone. That's really cool.
I know stuff, Lee. I know stuff. And I know that's Captain Alphabet right next to it.
So yeah, that is the date that we have chosen to celebrate the comic book and to celebrate the character of Spider-Man.
August 15. Nice.
Do you have anything else that you want to add before we end the show?
I don't think so. I think this one has a place on the calendar. It is pivotal to Marvel cinema. Yes, the franchise has been split a little bit by this. Doesn't matter. It's Spider-Man.
Yep.
Much loved, arguably one of the most loved superhero characters that ever existed.
Yep.
You know, you could put Spider-Man with maybe one or two others that are up there. I love Spider-Man.
Rumor has it that Tobey Maguire will be making another appearance in the Spider-Man suit coming soon in an MCU film.
I love Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
I think he's an incredible actor. He's the best Spider-Man. Don't forget of all the things I've said. I think, Tobey, you are the best Spider-Man.
Yeah. I'm not even going to argue. No, that's fine. You heard it here. I can't wait for you to watch Tom Holland and some of his. Thank you so much, Terrence, for recording.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, everybody, for watching or listening. We really appreciate it. If you haven't done so already and you've made it this far, please subscribe, leave us a comment and a like. It really does help us out a lot.
Tell people about it.
Yeah, share it with a friend who you think might enjoy it. Yeah. We really enjoy doing this.
And tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Tell us if you've got any ideas. If you've got some great films you think we should include on the calendar, let us know that too.
Yeah. Otherwise, we will see you next week for...
We have announced it. The Blues Brothers.
So good. Can't wait. Yep. Dun, 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 dun.
I was going to go... Dun, dun.
She caught the Katie.
It's the other song. The first one. Yeah. Anyway.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Something to write.